525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon. Once again, everyone, welcome. Nice to have you with us. Friday edition. Everybody lights up when you say Friday. And it's Friday afternoon now, so, you know, we're almost at the weekend. Maybe you're already starting to celebrate. I am. One of those weeks where it seems like a long week to me. I'm glad the weekend has arrived. Open talk to begin the program today. 283-2525 is our number. Later on, we have a couple of guests who are going to be joining us. Looking forward to a little chat with Carmen Hartono, who has penned a memoir entitled The Chronicles of a Catholic Housewife. Now, this is not a, evangelical-type book. It really just tells the story of her family, and we're talking about her immediate family now. Her husband and her son-in-law, and they have three of the world's major religions: Catholic, Islam, and Judaism. So interesting holiday gatherings, I guess. Maybe they're celebrating a lot more holidays than most folks, with a whole bunch of religious holidays. Well, it's kind of a fascinating story. Sounds like it's going to be a fascinating story. We'll chat with her a little bit later on the program today, and then we had another guest who at the last minute had to cancel out, but it turned out to be kind of a happy accident because there's a big thriller movie that's opening this weekend. In fact, it was featured prominently in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette this morning. It's called The Meg. Have you heard about it? Maybe you've seen some of the trailers on TV. It's another shark movie. And I got a very favorable review in the Post-Gazette this morning. Maybe not as good as Jaws, but then are you ever going to be any better than Jaws? I don't know. Anyway, this movie is based on the novel Meg, written by Steve Alton. And when I saw that in the paper this morning, I said, wait a minute. We interviewed Steve Alton some time ago. Not about the Meg, that particular book, but about another book that he wrote called Undisclosed. Now, Steve Alton, I'll warn you, we're going to take another listen to that interview today. But I'll give you plenty of notice. He is, I don't know whether it would be fair to call him a conspiracy theorist. Maybe. Yeah, I guess probably yes. Undisclosed is about ETs, extraterrestrials, UFOs, and something else called zero-point fuel or something like that, zero-point energy. Anyway, Steve will explain all of that in the chat later on this afternoon. So that's the lineup of things we're going to talk about. I just saw a portion of Jaws a couple of months ago on TV. It was on Turner Classic Movies. I did not see the whole thing. But it's still, and how many years ago was that? 25 years ago? When was Jaws anyway? Yeah, probably at least 25 years ago, maybe longer. It was longer, yes. It was back in the 70s, I think. That's one of the scariest movies of all time. Even the music is spooky, isn't it? Yeah. Well, one of my scariest movies, anyway. One of the other ones that I remember as being particularly scary, and it's because when I saw it, I don't know, I was like 12 years old, something like 10, 12, something like that. Yeah, it's an old, old Vincent Price movie. You've probably never heard of it. Called The House on Haunted Hill. And it was an old black and white Vincent Price thriller. But it could have been the age that I was when I saw it and whatever. But I still shiver to think about that. I've never seen it again. I'm sure it's been on TV. I've never seen it again, but I always remember that is really, really spooky. That, and if I had to pick one other movie that just scared the daylights out of me, it would be Alien. The original Alien. There's been a couple of other sequels to that, but the original Alien was just absolutely, absolutely spellbinding. And I mean, you just jump out of your seat. You see that film? That goes back probably close to 20 years now, I would guess. Just thinking about that. Sigourney Weaver. And I think she's even been in a couple of the sequels, which I have not seen. I'm not big on movie sequels. There's one rare exception to that. But for the most part, they just don't do it for me, you know. And they never have. I mean, even if you go back to the olden days, and I love old movies. The Thin Man series, have you seen any of the Thin Man movies? Pat Parker says no. They would be well before your time. In fact, they were well before my time, but they pop up on Turner Classic Movies every once in a while. Myrna Loy and William Powell. And a great combination. They did like, I don't know, five or six of them. But the first one was the best, you know. It was the best by far. And I found that to be the case with most movies where they start having these endless sequels, whether it's Rocky or Jurassic Park or whatever. The exception, of course, is The Godfather. Yeah, The Godfather. Godfather 1, Godfather 2. Without question, the best sequel that was ever made, huh? Yeah. The Godfather. I dig that out and watch it again once in a while. I practically know the dialogue by heart, but it's such a fabulous movie. Horrible plot, don't get me wrong. I'm not espousing the crime and the violence and all that stuff, but just from a pure movie-making standpoint, you know, just losing yourself in a good film. Boy, that's hard to beat. That's hard to beat. Open talk at 283-2525. Am I going to go see the Meg? I don't know. Maybe I will. I haven't seen a good thriller in a while. Will I compare it to Jaws? I probably will. Will it match up to Jaws? Probably not. I don't know. Open talk at 283-2525. Let's get to the people here without any further ado on this Friday afternoon. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your
Hello.
Turn.
Hello, Dave.
Hi.
I have a question. I'm confused about something here.
Okay.
They said they're supposed to close under our wing in September. Is that correct?
No, it's under our wing is going to remain open.
Okay. Right. But then I was watching the news last night on television, and they said they're going to close the Y. The Y is going to close out, go down.
No, first of all, this is the YWCA, not the YM, to begin with.
Yeah.
And the YWCA, some years ago, I don't know when exactly it was, but they converted, you know, when it started out, they had rooms for single women who were moving into Butler to work, and they didn't have any place to live. And they weren't, that wasn't obviously working anymore, so they converted part of the building to a personal care residence. And then sometime after that, they built under our wing, which is a separate building right next door. In fact, they're connected by an overhead passageway. But the only thing that's closing down is the personal care within the original YWCA building. Under our wing is going to remain open.
Okay, now that's what's confusing, because you said the YMCA is going out of business, period.
What, was this on a Pittsburgh TV station or something?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, Well, that'll teach you. Listen to local news here on WISR.
I did. That's why I'm confused.
Sometimes when Pittsburgh people, first of all, they make it very, very short. You know, they've got like two sentences for Butler. Mm-hmm. And other times they just don't know. I mean, I can remember the great Ed Chauncey. Are you old enough to remember Ed Chauncey?
Yes, I am.
I can remember listening when I was a kid. Well, I don't know.
And Wendy King.
12, 13 years old. No, that was Ed King.
And King. Yeah. No, that was Ed Chauncey. Ed Chauncey was on there a couple of times.
Yeah.
Wendy King.
But I can remember listening to Ed Chauncey doing the news one time when I was a teenager, and there had been a fire in Foxburg. The Silver Fox Inn burned down one night, and he was doing the news story the next morning, and he went on and on, and he said, as far as we know, the Silver Fox Playhouse was not damaged. And I just about laughed my head off, because the Silver Fox Playhouse is probably 3 miles away from the Silver Fox Inn. But sometimes the Pittsburgh people, they just don't know, you know.
You see how that can be very confusing. You see how that can be very, very confusing to somebody.
Yeah, it can be. Well, anyway, I hope that sets you straight.
I hope so, too, because actually we cannot afford to lose the I'm going to say this wrong again. YMCA. We can't afford to lose that.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank
nice you. To talk with you today. Have a good weekend.
You also. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525, Open Talk. Yes, the Board of Trustees, and we have this news story this morning here on WISR, the YWCA Board of Trustees, indicating in a press release they are saddened by the decision they had to make to close the personal care home, but they said it's just not economically viable in today's market. So that's the story on that. I don't know quite how many people live there. I don't know for sure the number of rooms, but this does not affect the under our wing building next door. That remains open. Okay, let's take another call. Our phone number is 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Okay. Hi, Dave. I was just calling to maybe help that lady that was confused about the why.
Sure.
The Allegheny County Y's had fallen on financial difficulties, and they had to reorganize in Allegheny County and close a lot of their branches.
Mm-hmm.
But that has nothing to do with anything that's going on in Butler County with the YW or the YMs.
Yeah. Well, that in Allegheny County, that was the YMCA.
And yes, it was the YMCA.
I think they closed about three of them. There was a big one down in downtown Pittsburgh that they're closed, and I think a couple of other suburban locations. But that's totally different from the YMCA here in Butler County.
Yeah, so if she was hearing something on the Pittsburgh news, it was probably in regards to
that
YMCA problem in Allegheny County.
And it's easy to, you know, if you're just listening with half an ear or whatever, to confuse the YMCA and the YWCA. That's understandable.
It is, and I agree with you that I think Butler County gets left out of the news from Pittsburgh quite often. They seem to dwell on Beaver, Westmoreland, and Allegheny County.
Does seem to
even
be the
when
case.
There's big stories going on, there's very seldom that they cover Butler County real well.
Yeah, I agree. Well, except
for Daryl Metcalf.
We try to do it here at WISR. We do our best anyway. So.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure. Thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. We just did a program, a year or so ago, with officials from the YW, and we were talking about the history of the organization. And we're talking again about the YWCA. And talked about how when it was first constructed, and we're talking about the building that now exists there on West Cunningham Street. It's right across from the Tier parking garage, the original Tier parking garage, the old Tier parking garage in downtown Butler. But back in at that time, in the 40s and in the 50s, there were a lot of single women, young single women who are coming to Butler to get jobs. and they didn't have anywhere to live. And so they took rooms at the YWCA, and there were quite a few young women who lived there, some temporarily, some for some length of time. But that's how they originally ended up with the space that eventually became the personal care portion of the facility. Back to the people we go at 283-2525, our number. Hi, caller. Dave here. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
I have a suggestion for maybe one of your future programs. You, I'm sure, have heard that there's a blood shortage, and I was wondering if you could have someone come on from the Central Blood Bank and explain what a simple procedure it is to donate blood. I think some people are hesitant, you know, thinking that they have qualms about donating, and it's such a simple process, and I thought maybe that would encourage some people to give blood.
It's a good idea. You're right. It's a simple process. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't take very long, and the blood that you give, it's usually a pint. Your body regenerates it within a day or two, so it doesn't hurt you any at all.
I heard, I guess it was on one of the Pittsburgh stations, that you help three different other people with one donation of blood.
Hmm.
So, you know, I just thought that might be a suggestion.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Have a good day and a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's a good point that she makes there, the importance of giving blood. Central Blood Bank is the organization that provides blood to the Butler Memorial Hospital and many of the other hospitals around the area as well. Central Blood Bank. I've always been, and I don't have any medical training, but I've always been kind of mystified as to how or why medical researchers have not been able to come up with a synthetic blood, a manufactured blood. I mean, when you look at all of the other incredible advances in medicine and in medical research over the past couple of decades, you know, I mean, we have cloning, we have mapping the genome, all of the genes, research into DNA and so many other things, organ transplants and everything. And yet unable to, you know, to manufacture blood or to create a substitute for blood. Can't be done. And maybe you look at that and you say, gosh, all the more wonder for God's creation, huh? The human body. Maybe there are some things you just can't duplicate. What do you think? 283-2525 is the number. Open talk. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Dave, I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your program. It's very informative, like yesterday. But I also wanted to say that I really enjoy your mornings with Kate. That gives me a laugh a lot of times.
Well, thank you for that. I tell you what, sometimes I get to laughing so hard myself, it's hard to keep going.
I know. There's a lot of things I agree with you on, too, on that point. But yesterday's program was really good because my grandson is hoping to go there if his loans are approved enough.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, would you give me the name of the president that was on yesterday?
Sure. And just let me take a second here because there will be some people listening today who weren't with us yesterday. We had a wonderful, very relaxing hour-long chat with the new president of Slippery Rock University. His name is William Berry, and that's spelled B-E-H-R-E, William Berry, Dr. William Berry. And he,
yes, it was a very, very interesting conversation.
He sounds like a really wonderful guy, doesn't he? Man.
Yes, he does. He really does.
I was very impressed. The first time I'd ever met him, when he came into the studio yesterday, we shook hands the first time I'd met him. And, well, he just started, you know, July 1st, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think he's going to be very competent.
I think so, too. Yeah.
And I was thinking a lot of people will like him. So, but is there any possible way that someone else can listen to that program?
Of course, yeah. You can listen to any of our programs up to, we archive them on our website for, about a year?
Sometimes
even longer, yeah. So you just go to WISR680.com and you have to follow the prompts there. You go to our station and then click on programs and it's your turn and you can find it and you can play it back on your laptop.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad I asked. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
If you have any trouble, give us a call on our regular office line and we'll give you more detailed instructions. I don't think you have any trouble.
Well, I don't know the office line. Is it different from this one?
Yeah, it's 283-1500.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, good to talk with you.
And keep up the good work. I love it. Okay.
I appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Bye.
283-2525 is the number. Yeah, all of our It's Your Turn programs are archived on our website, which is very handy. If you want to go back and listen to something that you missed or listen to something that you wanted to hear again, there you are. Yeah. Phone number is 283-2525. Open talk on the It's Your Turn program today. 283-2525. Well, the National Football League preseason is underway. Last weekend, they have that Hall of Fame game that they play at that high school type stadium in Canton, Ohio. But that's just two teams, and I don't know how much longer they're going to keep up with that. But at any rate, last night they had 11 or 12 games, I think, last night. Thursday night seemed to be popular for these preseason games. Steelers, of course, played last night. They won over the Philadelphia Eagles. These games don't count. And if you want any, proof of just how much they do not count, last year the Cleveland Browns were undefeated in the preseason. They won all four of their preseason games, and then they proceeded to win absolutely none of their regular season games. They lost every one. And I'd forgotten about that. I was listening to Bill Hillgrove call the game last night here on WISR. He said, remember, Cleveland was 4-0 in the preseason last year and didn't win anything. So, they're practice games is what they are. They're practice games. But, hey, if you're a football fan and if you're a Steeler fan, it's pretty good stuff. And once again, we had some players who took a knee during the national anthem. There was one Philadelphia player last night who raised a fist in the air, I think, during the national anthem. And President Trump was tweeting again this morning about that, and saying they should be suspended and so on and so forth. I don't know. 283-2525, our number. Let's get back to the people here today, after all. Open talk at 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi.
I want to say kudos to the Steelers. And I wanted to also mention, I don't know if anybody else has this problem and why you can't find this on your computer. Say if you have relatives buried in a cemetery somewhere or a friend,
mm-hmm.
and you go to the office, they have to drag out all their paperwork and everything to find it. Why don't they put it on the computer that you can go to that website and find where it's at?
Are you talking about going to the office of a cemetery or something? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there are some cemeteries that you can do that. Now, I'm not an expert here, but I can tell you I know for sure that you can for some. I have an uncle, actually a great uncle, who was a captain in the Marine Corps, and he is buried at Arlington National Cemetery. And not only can you go online and in about 15 seconds look up people who are buried at Arlington, but you also get a picture of their tombstone. I mean, it's really remarkable. It's almost unbelievable. I have also looked up on rare occasions. I don't search through obituaries all the time, but I don't know. 5 or 6 times I've looked up someone that I know had died, or I wondered if they had died. And I found different cemeteries around the country where you can do that. Now, not all, understand.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, small towns, small country cemeteries, but some do, some don't. Are you trying to find a friend or a relative or something in particular?
My brother was visit me a few days ago, and he mentioned that. Yeah, and we know. I think he was trying to look for somebody at Greenlawn, and they have nothing like that. I don't know if Butler Memorial does or not.
I have not looked up any of the local cemeteries. Are you sure that that's the cemetery the person was buried in?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, because we know that they're buried there, but sometimes when we go out and put flowers on the grave, we forget where it's at, and we spend a half hour or so looking for them. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about Greenlawn. Do they have a local office here in Butler?
Their office is right there, and as soon as you go into the cemetery, it's like a little building before you enter, in. I mean, it's right outside the walls there, the gate or whatever it's called.
And have you tried there to ask if they have a map or something?
Yeah, they do, but they have something like that they have to pull out and show you, but it's just so much more convenient if you can sit at home and, pull it up on your computer.
No question about it, yeah.
And then if it's after hours, you can't, the office is closed.
My guess is that it's probably larger cemeteries. Like I say, I've done this a couple of times, but it's for, faraway cities. I've never tried it locally. And because there's an expense there, number one, and number two, many of the smaller cemeteries, smaller church cemeteries or small town cemeteries, they may not have the personnel who's familiar with, setting up a website and all that sort of thing too. So.
I don't call Greenlawn or Butler Memorial small, but they're not, they're not overly enormous like Arlington. Still, there's a lot of graves out there, both places, and even the one up on the hill. I can't think of the name of it on Main Street. I'm not sure if they have it either.
Well, there's 2 or 3 cemeteries up there, all side by side. Yeah.
Okay.
North Cemetery, and there's a couple of other ones there too.
Yeah, it's just something I was curious about. There's so many things out there that you can just find online, but that you cannot.
Well, that's a good question. Maybe someone else has additional information on that. My story is just anecdotal. I know I have looked that up a couple of times for people, but it's not. It's been in a larger city, so.
Okay.
All righty. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's amazing how I agree with her. That would be very convenient. And you get used to being able to look something up on the spur of the moment. On a website these days, and just think how relatively new this is, it was something this morning. I'm trying to think of what it was right now. I was in a conversation with someone and a question came up and I just turned around to my desk and, quickly Googled it. And I mean, I had the answer inside of 10 seconds and, you stop me and think, wow, what a world we live in that you can do that. But, of course, when you get used to looking up something like that so quickly, then sometimes, as that caller indicated, lady indicated, it's a little frustrating when you don't have access online. Open Talk at 283-2525 here on the It's Your Turn program today. 283-2525. A little bit later, we've got a couple of guests who are going to be joining us. But right now, it's Open Talk at 283-2525. Of course, the other side of the internet and being online and so on are the dangers that come with it in this day and age. There's news just today of a new scam that some people are getting a message purportedly from PNC Bank, a text message claiming that their account is locked or something to that effect. And the word is, if you get one of those messages, don't click on it, because it's not from PNC to start with. In fact, there are some people that aren't even customers of PNC Bank that are getting this text message. So it's a scam. They're trying to get information from you. And sometimes all you got to do is click on one of those things, and that admits some malware into your laptop or your PC or your phone, because, you know, today's day and age, your telephone, your cell phone is just a mini computer. So you got to be careful. But that's the latest one. I just saw it for the first time on the wire this morning. Text message purportedly from a PNC Bank claiming that your account is locked. Not true. Yeah, not true. And, of course, we have the old standbys, you know, where somebody claims to be from the IRS and, you know, you need to pay up right away or you're going to go into jail. The IRS does not call anybody. They don't call people. If they have questions about you or you're in trouble with the IRS, you get a letter. They mail it to you. So don't fall for any of that stuff. And please, don't fall for any of the Nigerian scams that still come. I got one a couple of weeks ago in my email. And you know, I mean, these have been around for so long, I can't believe that everyone doesn't know about it already. But there it was, you know. Some guy in Nigeria who claimed he needed money to, I don't know, for something or other. I mean, when I saw it, I just laughed. I said, I can't believe this stuff's still coming over every once in a while. Don't click on that stuff. No. Just cancel it out right away. Get it out of there. Get it out of there. Open Talk at 283-2525, the number, 283-2525. We mentioned the movie, The Meg, that opens today. Shark movie. Another one opens this weekend that's fascinating. And I've seen the trailers for this now for a couple of weeks on TV. It's a Spike Lee film. It's called Black Klansman. And it's the story of a police officer in Colorado Springs, I think it was, back in the 1970s. True story, by the way. True story, dramatized by Spike Lee in this film. And this police officer saw a notice in the want ads in the newspaper that they were looking for, they were going to try to start a Ku Klux Klan chapter in this Colorado town. And so he just, you know, out of curiosity, applied that, you know, he'd like information and like to join, and got a reply back and so on and so forth, and the request for an interview. Well, the catch is that this police officer who answered this one ad was African-American. And he got a fellow officer, a Caucasian guy, to stand in for him at the interview, and they perpetrated this for some time. Anytime they were talking on the phone, this African-American police officer handled that. But when they had to do something in person, obviously, since he was black, they had to have the other guy go. And Ron Stallworth was the officer's name. And again, it's a true story. I had never heard of it before. And the movie has received rave reviews. I've read two or three reviews of it already. Rave reviews. Spike Lee, who's a pretty famous filmmaker these days, doesn't do a whole lot of films, but most of the stuff that he does is, if nothing else, very, very thought-provoking. If you watch TV, you've probably seen the trailers for this film. And the first couple of times I saw the trailer, I didn't quite understand it. You know, I mean, how could you have an African-American man who becomes a member of the Ku Klux Klan? Well, it was a bit of a charade on the part of this police officer. But it's a true story. True story. Okay, we better take a quick break here before we get too much further along on the Friday program. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. And stick around. We'll be back with more coming up in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller Shoes. Miller Shoes at 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Did you ever stop and think about what a treasure we have in Miller Shoes? Here's a business. First of all, it's a huge shoe store. And this is a business that's been around here in the Butler area for 125 years. 125 years. Wow. And it's family-owned and operated, the Chiprian family. I'm sure many of you know them, probably known them for years, maybe for generations. They literally have been serving generations of folks around here for their shoes. And they're still doing it. They're still doing it. They are your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. I don't know if you've ever tried a pair of SAS shoes. Oh, my. Oh, my. I like bedroom slippers. And they make sandals, too. SAS sandals in a variety of colors and styles. Check them out. Just as comfortable as the SAS shoes. And for athletic shoes, it's hard to beat the variety of brands that they have at Miller's Shoes. And all the kids getting ready to head back to school, maybe a new pair of tennies is on the agenda. Well, take our advice. Stop in, see Jimmy Chiprian and the gang at Miller's Shoes. They've got all the famous name brands there, Nike and New Balance and Saucony and Rockport and Keds and Skechers and Easy Spirit and Asics and Pro-Pet. Can you imagine all of those under one roof? Yeah. Lots of other buys, too. And always some shoes on sale on racks for easy browsing, men and women. Miller's Shoes, indeed, a treasure for 125 years. On Main Street in downtown Butler, 215 South Main Street, Miller's Shoes. For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon, Route 8 south of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289. Quick look at our weather. We're preparing to chat with our first guest today, but we wanted to bring you up to date on the weather forecast because it's a little bit iffy once again today. And we've had this iffy weather for, you know, it's like a couple of weeks now. By and large, it's been pretty much the same forecast where, you know, you have some sun and some clouds and always the threat of a pop-up shower or a thunderstorm. Now, there have been days where we didn't get it. There have been other days where we did. Yesterday would be a good example. The weather folks said not too likely, but sure enough, we had a couple of spotty showers roll through late afternoon, early evening yesterday. Not everybody got it. Today, a little more likely, they say. So let's check the radar right now. We had, here in the central part of Butler County, we had some rain that came through a couple of hours before daybreak. you perhaps weren't even awakened by it. We didn't have any thunder or lightning. And it was only a brief downpour. In fact, in some places, it only lasted for a couple of minutes. And then it moved on quickly. We did have a line of storm activity that moved through Allegheny County late morning. We're talking 11:30. That has now moved off to the east. It's in the Indiana area now, Indiana County. And they're getting some pretty good rain there. Nothing showing in our immediate area at the moment, in our listening area. However, the future forecast indicates pretty good chance of showers blooming this afternoon. And right now, the future cast is looking at around probably in our area 3, maybe 4 o'clock, when we could start getting some pretty good shower activity. So we'll see what develops. It's kind of fluid, and it's, well, it's iffy. And by the way, we've got pretty much the exact same forecast for the whole weekend, for Saturday and for Sunday. You know, a chance of a shower or pop-up thunderstorm? Maybe not. And the good news is, if we do get these, it probably won't last too long. Hope not, anyway. We don't want a wipeout weekend. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. It's not going to be real, real hot. Highs generally right around the 80-degree mark, maybe 81. So, I mean, that's not brutal temperatures, but it's pretty muggy. And outside here in the city of Butler today, we've got kind of muggy conditions. Again, it's not real hot, not a whole lot of sun. What we do have is pretty weak. Temperatures are pleasant enough, but it is muggy. It is sticky. So that's what we're looking at today. Okay, let's take a quick break here. Our first guest will be joining us. Carmen Hartono, and we're going to be talking about a memoir that she's published. Sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting. Certainly an interesting family life for her. That's coming up next on the It's Your Turn program. We'll be back right after this. Hey, folks, have you heard about Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You know, you got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Going Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary, also greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Going to be talking, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn. By the way, nice to have you with us here today. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest joins us by telephone. She is Carmen Hartono, and we're going to be talking about a memoir that she has published. The title is Chronicles of a Catholic Housewife. Carmen, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
You have a most intriguing title of your memoir there, Chronicles of a Catholic Housewife. How did you ever decide on that title?
Well, originally it was going to be my diary, because it literally did come from a diary, and my daughter did not like that. And I thought Chronicles fits better into the biblical theme of just all the chronicles that are in the Bible, especially the Exodus chronicling those 40 years. Before they went to the Promised Land. And so I thought Chronicles fit better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have an interesting family situation. You're a Hispanic Catholic from El Salvador. You married a Muslim from Indonesia. Your daughter married a man of the Jewish faith. That's an interesting background in your family there, Carmen.
It makes it for very interesting discussions when the different political thoughts come up, et cetera, et cetera. It's never boring around here.
Well, certainly at family dinners on holidays and so on. As a matter of fact, you probably have more holiday get-togethers than most families because you're celebrating a lot of different cultures there, are you not?
Well, you know, one of my favorite moments, so I have a lot of favorite moments, but one of my favorite moments is when Hanukkah fell on Christmas Eve. And so I have my Advent candle, and then on Christmas Eve you finally get to light all four candles. So I had all four candles lit, and it was the first day of Hanukkah, and so we also had the little Hanukkah, you know, candles, only one candle for that. And so just to know that the four candles were finished for Advent season, and we're just beginning Hanukkah. So yeah, so it's kind of fun that way. Get lots of candles.
What inspired you to put this memoir down on paper and publish it, Carmen?
Well, you know, I have all, my mother actually, you know, when my mother only had one prayer, que sea la voluntad de Dios, may God's will be done. And that's the only lesson I've ever learned. And, you know, my whole life has been one where, you know, if God gives you lemons, make lemonade type of attitude. And I just had an opportunity living in Singapore. I had a job here in California with the diocese, with the Catholic diocese, and so I was already teaching religious education and already thinking in that way, and my husband got a job in Singapore. They gave me a stipend for giving up my job to live there with him, and I thought, hey, this is perfect, almost like heaven sent. To have this opportunity to finally get this on paper. It's a kind of dream I think a lot of people have, is to finally get their thoughts on in a book.
I agree. Wow. Not only a multicultural family, but you've been blessed to live in different parts of the country. You're a native of El Salvador, right? When did you come to the United States, Carmen?
I was only 5-6 years old when I came, so I grew up here in the U.S., but my mom would always send me back to El Salvador for my summer vacations, and so that gave me, you know, not only opportunities to be with my dad and my family in El Salvador, but just to grow up biculturally and bilingually, and so that was really, really a big gift.
And then you spent some time. How long did you live in Singapore?
Singapore was 3 years. It was like living in Disneyland. It really was wonderful.
Well, your husband is from Indonesia. If it's not too personal, may I ask how you met?
Not at all. Believe it or not, my mother, there was a soccer war, is what they called it, in El Salvador. My mother was helping out with a fundraiser to help the cause at our local church. And the son of the consul general to Indonesia came to our function, you know, because he was out there supporting causes as well. And he just came. I met him. We became good friends. And he started inviting me to all these Indonesian parties. So I just became an Indonesian groupie. I thought they were so cute. And I didn't know where Indonesia was. I had to go home and look it up in a map. Once I got to meet them, I just fell in love with them. And the rest is history, as they say.
The subtitle of your book is 40 Years Toward the Promised Land. And your marriage goes back about that long, right? 4 decades?
That's right. And that's what this chronicles, in 1972 to 2012. Those 40 years. And so I basically, as you could imagine, there was a lot of disagreements, a lot of different points of view, different value systems, et cetera, et cetera. And I saw that date, you know, and I'm being from Central America and living in San Francisco, where 2012 was the end of the Maya calendar. I figured, okay, well, that seems like a good deadline. So I thought, if I'm not there by 2012, you know, and so that's how I came up with those dates.
You look at everything that's happened in your life as part of God's plan, huh?
I do.
You've dealt
and especially for a marriage like this, you know, the 70s was the sexual revolution, and San Francisco was the center of that, and so, you know, I mean, my goodness, sounds crude, but, you know, our attraction to each other was very basic, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the 80s was very materialistic, you know. By then, we were raising a family, and our mindset was very much that way. And so not only does this just coincidentally happen, you know, that fits our marriage well, but we're just baby boomers. And so we're such a huge part of the population that we kind of set the social movements because we're such a big group.
A quick break. We have a couple of more minutes, listeners, to chat with our guest. We'll pick up our conversation with Carmen Hartono here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Dr. Jason Clark is an orthopedic surgeon for Butler Health System. He also volunteers as a high school team doctor.
We all hold our breath a little bit when our kids compete because we know there's always the chance of an injury. For Eric and Sydney, that was a severely injured ankle. Fortunately, I have quick access to the tools and the people they need, giving them the best opportunity to get back out there.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care, but more importantly, we know why we have to.
Have the thoughts of becoming a caregiver for your parents been on your mind a lot lately? Maybe you're thinking about your own life in a few years. Pretty overwhelming, and you don't know where to turn. Let me suggest attorney Michael Pater. He handles each account like they're his own mom and dad. For elder law issues, wills, power of attorney, living wills, trusts, and more, call attorney Michael Pater at the Handicap Accessible Morgan Center, downtown Butler, at 287-7724. Representing individuals, families, and businesses for over 26 years is attorney Michael Pater, 287-7724.
The worst time to make the important decisions is when we're filled with emotional stress. We can't think straight. We can't be logical. We're just not functioning properly. And so it is at the time of the death of a loved one. That's not the time to start planning the funeral. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in downtown Butler suggests you plan now for the future that you know will eventually come. Ask and answer these questions now while you're able to think straight. Where should the funeral be held? What kind of casket? Cremation? Which minister? Priest or rabbi, visitations, which florist, and on it goes. We suggest pre-planning now. Now is the time to make these decisions before you're in the depths of your emotions and not thinking straight. Think about it now. Let's discuss it. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or www.thompson-miller.com. Pre-arrangement. It makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR is Carmen Hartono. And we're talking with Carmen about her recently published memoir, Chronicles of a Catholic Housewife, 40 Years Toward the Promised Land. What else do you talk about in addition to your life? You look at the grand scheme of things. I mean, you know, the meaning of life. My goodness, Carmen, people have asked that question of themselves since the beginning of time, have they not?
They do. And that's what made this story, in a way, easy, because we do have a wonderful Bible that basically goes into that question back for thousands of years. So it kind of, I begin the book sort of in a midlife crisis moment, and then I go back and start reflecting to my youth, et cetera, on how I got to this midlife crisis. And it happens all of us at one point. You know, you're doing all the right things, you're paying the mortgage payments, you know, you're fixing the house and feeding the kids, and you realize that there's got to be more to life than that. And that's when I started looking and reading more philosophy, well, actually studying it, and psychology, et cetera, and just got into more of the idea of what the mind is, what the soul is, what the spirit is, and found that I'm obviously not the only one, you know, asking those questions, and realize how we're already all kind of programmed into answering those questions through simple love. You know, love between a husband and wife, a love of a when you look at a newborn child, my goodness, you know, you basically see the face of God. So it's just kind of a very simple story, but like you said, very deep as well.
What do you think about Pope Francis? He's had some comments recently about how we should treat immigrants. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm an immigrant, and my husband is an immigrant. And, you know, I even though we come from very, very different backgrounds and faiths, I think that's what kind of bonded us together, is we're, you know, kind of the two of us in a new land together. And so one thing that I would say, and I think this is probably what Pope Francis is thinking, is fundamental to our faith is that God, everything's in God's plan, and if God planned for people to come to a new land, that's what happened, you know, from Egypt to all the movements, mm-hmm. is people feel they're called by God to do that. And so it's almost like a religious freedom thing to welcome the immigrant.
Well, within your immediate family, you have three of the major religions of the world, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Have there been conflicts in your family due to religious differences at times, Carmen?
Well, that's where the politician, or rather the diplomat in me, comes in quickly to sort of, especially my husband and my son-in-law, who, just naturally, you know, no one is ever good enough for your little baby, you know, your daughter, you're the princess. And so that was already naturally there. And then being, you know, the from the Jewish background and the Muslim background, there's obviously some different points of view there. So it was very difficult, you know, at first. But, you know, in the end, humor takes in. You just have to, you know, laugh at what becomes really important to a certain person because they're from a certain background. And in the end, you realize how silly some of these things are. And then as far as Christ, you know, the belief in Christianity that he's the Lord, that's one topic, you know, that I keep to myself. That's what I believe, and I know not everybody believes that. And so, you know, that's the place that becomes very personal, very private, and we keep it that way.
You used a term in your book, Carmen, that I've not seen before, and it may be a word that you've made up. It's a good one. You talk about things that happen in life, and then you ask yourself, is this a coincidence, or is it a God-incidence? That's the word,
right?
I've never heard of before. Talk about that a little bit. That's fascinating.
Well, that's my own way of describing providence. You know, the word providence is something I learned in school and never quite understood what it meant. But that word, you know, coincidence and God incidence made a lot of sense to me because I would just, in my diaries, in my chronicles, I would write, oh, that's interesting that what happened here. Well, what a coincidence. And they were just so interesting. And then studying union psychology, you know, they have the term synchronicity. And so, you know, there's all these terms that come up. And then I finally, you know, connected the dots there that God works through synchronicity, through divine providence, and through simple coincidences. And that's how, you know, God kind of puts the players in where they need to be, and then it's our own free will to decide whether to go forward toward the promised land or to just stay put and maybe go back to Egypt or something.
I bet a lot of people hearing you wish they had started a journal way back when in younger life, because you can look back on some of the things that you wrote years ago, decades ago, and it'll give them a whole new meaning. When did you actually start keeping your diary or your journal?
When I was little. I was an only child, like I said. You know, just my mom and me came from El Salvador, and I was lonely, and so that was my friend. It was my diary. So that was me. I just always loved to write. But I think all of us have that. You know, we have those letters that we've written to people, those emails we send to people, and those photographs we take, those selfies. And we all have chronicled our life in one way or another, and it's always a good idea to put it all together and see how God has worked in your life.
I have to ask you one last question as we wrap up here. You have a beautiful photograph on the cover of your book. It shows an ant crawling up what appears to be a blade of grass or a leaf of a plant. Did you take that picture, Carmen?
I did take that photograph. When we moved to Singapore, my youngest daughter was part of the package, you know, the company sent my husband and myself and also my youngest daughter, and it's beautiful botanical garden there. I love to take photographs, and I just saw the light coming through these, you know, this foliage in the botanical garden there in Singapore, and I just took a photograph of it, and my daughter, who's got much better eyesight, said, "Oh, I think you got the ant." And I brought the photograph home, put it on the big screen there on the TV, and sure enough, there was that ant, and it just was the image for the book. You know, this little ant, you know, walking along her journey there toward the light, looking for the light, and how sometimes there's just dark moments on her journey, and we just have to have faith that eventually we'll find the light.
Picture's worth a thousand words, huh?
Yeah. Thank you, yes.
The title of the book, listeners, is Chronicles of a Catholic Housewife, 40 Years Toward the Promised Land, a memoir by Carmen Hartono. And it's been our pleasure to chat with her for the past few minutes. Carmen, nice to meet you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Come hear music spanning over four decades and enjoy a buffet dinner all in one night at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center in Lindora. Relive the 50s and 60s with the Doo-Wop Shop featuring Bill Riker, and then jump to the 70s, 80s, and beyond with The Voices. You can hear it all on Saturday, August 11th. Doors open at 6, dinner by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. As always, it's BYOB. Tickets are only $25. Call 724-287-00.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, it's great to have you with us. My name is Dave Malarkey. Have you ever seen a UFO? Or maybe you think you've seen one. Are you fascinated by stories of people who have seen UFOs? Then you're going to be blown away by our next segment. Our guest visits with us by telephone. He is New York Times best-selling author Steve Alton. Steve, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Thank you, Dave.
We're going to be talking about UFO sightings in general. Specifically, you have a new thriller
called Undisclosed.
Mm-hmm. And this is about UFOs. You also had a previous book that discussed USOs in general. It was kind of a complimentary volume to a documentary film, right?
Yeah, there's actually been three tools that we're using right now to try to get the truth out to the public about not just UFOs and extraterrestrials, but the technologies that were reverse-engineered from the downed craft that were brought down by the U.S. Army dating back to 1947 and over the years that followed. And this technology could literally change the world we live in. I mean, we're talking about free, clean energy systems. And so my book, Undisclosed, which is a fictional thriller, and Dr. Stephen M. Greer's book, which I edited, called Unacknowledged, and there was a documentary called Unacknowledged, and they were both released at the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
So these three tools we're using to try to get disclosure about these events to the public.
Well, a bit more about your book in a moment or so. Let's start from the beginning here, and let's be very honest about it. You know, for a long time, people, when they say they've seen a UFO or they've talked about it, you know, I mean, they're mocked. People make fun of them, or else they tell them that they've seen something else. It wasn't a UFO. It was a weather balloon, or it was some kind of military aircraft or something like that. You actually experienced this yourself, you and your wife, I guess, one evening about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and before I tell you about that, I just want to sort of ask a question that reader, your listeners, I think, will understand. You know, the question of UFOs is similar in a way to the question about God. You know, if I were to ask you if you believed in God or a higher power or a creator, what would you say?
Well, I would say yes.
And you would say yes based upon what? Based upon there's no physical evidence, technically. Yeah. No. I have to assume that you've never talked to God or he's never taught to you.
We were taught
to believe in God as children, correct?
Yeah.
And the acceptance of God across the world is, you know, whether, you know, what particular religion you might be in, and it doesn't really matter, but the fact that you do believe in a higher power. Well, with UFOs, there is physical evidence. There's tons of physical evidence. There's evidence on FAA radar screens. There's evidence of eyewitnesses who work at military bases that stored nuclear weapons. There's eyewitnesses of pedestrians like myself and my wife who saw it, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute. But we have been taught to deny the fact that UFOs exist and that if you do believe in UFOs, then you're crazy. So, you know, it's an interesting dichotomy between God and UFOs, because here's one factor, UFOs, that there's an abundance of evidence, and yet we were taught not to believe in them, and then there's God, who we do believe in, but it's a leap of faith in some ways. Having said that, if you had asked me prior to December 14th in 2013 if I believed in extraterrestrials and beings from other planets, my answer would be yes. But from a mathematical standpoint, simply because, you know, there are billions of galaxies in the universe and there are trillions of solar systems or star systems in those galaxies, and there are trillions and trillions of planets. So in our own galaxy, the Milky Way, if the chances of life evolving on a planet was one in a million, there'd still be, by those mathematics, millions of species in our galaxy. And so I did believe it from that standpoint. However, on December 14th in 2013, my wife and I were driving home from, we had dinner and a movie on a Saturday night. We were driving through our neighborhood, and Dave, I looked up in the sky over our neighborhood. It was a clear sky, and something bizarre was coming toward us. You know, they were pale amber lights like nothing I'd ever seen. There were about 8 to 12 of them. They were flying in staggered pairs, and my wife and I got out of the car to watch these things because they weren't planes, they weren't helicopters, they were smooth, they were silent, and they were majestic, and they flew over us about 1,000 feet overhead, and as they passed over us, we could see the outline of their saucer-shaped vessels, and then as they moved off into the northern sky, they simply vanished. I mean, And they didn't just vanish. I mean, they disappeared into the ether. We saw them disappear. And so, and 3 days later, as it happened, I was scheduled to meet with Dr. Stephen M. Greer, the foremost authority on UFOs and extraterrestrials, who had briefed several sitting presidents, members of Congress, heads of the CIA, the DIA. Well, of course, when we had dinner with him, the first thing that came out of our mouths was, "You're not going to believe that happened to us." And he sort of smiled and he said, "That happens a lot to people he meets for the first time. It's sort of the interstellars checking us out." And had that event not happened, and I truly believe that that event happened for a reason, because it was that event that pushed me to making a 3-year commitment to Dr. Greer to help get his book Unacknowledged out and my book Undisclosed out to bring disclosure to the public about UFOs.
So you had already been scheduled to meet with Dr. Stephen Greer prior to this experience that you and your wife had. That meeting was already set up.
Yeah, what happened was a couple years earlier, I had been writing a book about a Mayan trilogy book, Doomsday trilogy book, called the series was called Domain, and the third book in the series, Phobos, Mayan Fear, there was a section on it that had to do with extraterrestrials. So because I do a lot of due diligence and research into every aspect of the books, I spent a lot of time researching UFOs, and I came across something called the Disclosure Project, which happened in May of 2001 in Washington, D.C. Dr. Greer had brought forth 20 expert eyewitnesses, most of them who had above top secret clearances. They were in the military, they were in the intelligence agencies, the armed forces, the private contractors, and members of the FAA. And they all came forward to testify that UFOs were not only real, but they had seen them, they had run across them, that the government was keeping this a secret. And when I saw the YouTube of the Disclosure Project, I contacted Dr. Greer and asked him permission to use excerpts from those testimonials in between the chapters of my book to give it sort of a realistic sense. So he was very generous and agreed to do it, and I sent him a copy of the book. And then a year later, his wife had contacted me and said, we love the book and we want to meet you for dinner. We're going to be in Miami Beach in December. And this was like August. Mm-hmm. So the meeting was scheduled 6 months in advance. And here, right before we were supposed to meet with him, there were the UFOs.
And he said this has happened before, and it was not unusual.
Correct. Because he explained to me, and since over the last 3 years of interviewing him and gaining access to his top testimonials from eyewitnesses, and you know, he's explained to me that, you know, it's all about consciousness, it's all about thought energy, that extraterrestrials communicate over vast distances through thought energy. So they're able to read our thoughts, they're able to read what's in our heads, and by doing so, you know, what motivates us to do the things that we're doing.
This is obviously a little bit spooky. Were you frightened when you saw these objects in the sky back in December of 2013?
Actually, not at all. I mean, neither my wife and I were frightened. We were actually it was an exhilarating feeling. It was like we were privileged to be able to see this. There was nothing evil about this. There was nothing malicious. This was peaceful, completely, you know, from yeah, obviously from beings that have far greater technology and intelligence than us, but, you know, a totally peaceful event.
Listeners, for those of you who have joined us a few minutes late, first of all, welcome on this segment of It's Your Turn. We're talking with Steve Alton. Steve is the New York Times best-selling author, and specifically the author of a new thriller about UFOs entitled Undisclosed. If you're looking for Steve online, it's Steve Alton, A-L-T-E-N. This happens to be, Steve, the anniversary of probably the most famous incident. I mean, even if you're looking at the history of UFOs and everything that's been written about them and so on, the incident that would first pop up in most people's mind would be Roswell. And this is the anniversary of that, right?
That's correct. It was 70 years ago this week that the Roswell Army Air Force Base used a new scalar longitudinal wave weapon. Scalar waves are actually faster than light speed. And they had, believe it or not, back in 1947, they had developed this radar-type weapon. And in the last week of June of 1947, there were three UFOs that were buzzing the Air Force Base, Roswell Air Force Base in New Mexico. And the reason that, and what the book explains, what Undisclosed explains and Unacknowledged as well, is that the reason that these UFOs were buzzing these bases is because in Roswell, they had it was the home of the only bomber squadron, the 509 bomber squadron, the only wing in the world that was equipped with atomic weapons. See, what brought these species, and there's many of them. There's, according to many accounts, there's several dozen different species of interstellars that have been visiting Earth. What brought them in droves was the fact that during World War II, we were testing atomic weapons, and eventually we used two of them on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That set off not a panic, but sort of an alarm to our neighbors that the kids have learned how to play with gasoline and matches. Mm. And they came not to, you know, to harass us, for lack of a better word, but to protect us from ourselves. And so on June 24th in 1947, there was a UFO sighting that made international news. And 8 nights later, 3 extraterrestrial vehicles that were buzzing Roswell Air Force Base were shot down using this scalar wave device. Now, 2 of the UFOs crashed southwest of Corona, New Mexico. They crashed into each other, and they went down. And the third vessel wasn't discovered for 2 more years in Horse Mesa, which is west of Magdalena in New Mexico. And one of the military witnesses that provided information for Undisclosed and the other book, Unacknowledged, which I edited for Dr. Greer, he was shown a 16-millimeter movie of the Roswell recovery, which showed the ET bodies being moved. They were taken to Kirtland Air Force Base and then on to Los Alamos. But there was one of the ETs that survived, and he was taken to Los Alamos, this ET. Hmm.
Listeners, we have to take a break. Are you intrigued? I told you we're going to be blown away by this. We have a bit more time to chat with Steve Alton, and we'll pick up our conversation with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Our hands and wrists are in motion nearly every minute of every day. So when you develop pain, everyday tasks become a problem. And although the causes of pain may vary, the orthopedic hand and upper extremity surgeons at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers diagnose and treat a wide array of conditions. To learn more about hand and upper extremity care, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, partnering with the Butler community for more than 20 years.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 3131. The pick 3 is 945945. The pick 4, 6828. The pick 5, 13106. The wild ball for each of those is 8. Then your treasure hunt is 6, 11, 13, 19, and 22. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $27,000.
Welcome back on the It's Your Turn program. This segment, my name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Steve Alton. Steve is the New York Times bestselling author. His most recent book is a thriller about UFOs. It's called Undisclosed. At all the places, Steve, where we usually find books these days, I would imagine, or do you have to get it online, or what's the deal?
No, Undisclosed is has wide distribution. In fact, if you ask anyone at Barnes & Noble, they'll be able to let you know if there's copies available, and by all means, give them a call.
I'm familiar with, you know, Roswell, and I'm in Sydney, Mexico, and so on and so forth. I'm not familiar with a lot of the details. I seem to recall hearing that some people think that there were bodies that were brought to a location near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, which is not all that far from us in western Pennsylvania. Any truth to that story, or was that a different situation altogether?
No, you're 100% correct. The bodies of the deceased extraterrestrials were placed in deep freeze and sent to Wright-Patterson.
And to the best of your knowledge, are they still there?
I can't say if they're still there. I mean, it's been 70 years, but that's where they were initially brought.
What about the wreckage of the spacecraft? Were they recovered? Was there anything left of them?
Yeah, they were actually recovered, and that's the key to the story in Undisclosed, because they were reverse engineered, and the technology that allows these craft to travel in higher dimensions and almost instantaneously is a clean, free, abundant energy system called zero-point energy. Now, zero-point energy, while it was reverse engineered from these craft, was actually discovered by our own scientists as far back as 1901. It was Nikola Tesla, who was a brilliant scientist, who realized more than 100 years ago that that this fourth-dimensional time-space existed, and he was able to discover how to tap into the zero-point energy field, zero-point energy named that way because it comes from the zero-point energy field, which is zero energy being the absolute zero freezing temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
And Tesla was on the verge of bringing free energy to the world. But J.P. Morgan intervened. J.P. Morgan was a wealthy industrialist, and he had invested in copper wire, which was being used to wire up businesses and homes to receive electricity. Well, J.P. Morgan decided that giving energy to people without charging them was kind of un-American. So when Tesla was set up to conduct his experiment that would have brought free energy to everybody, J.P. Morgan got his cronies in Washington, D.C. to shut it down, and he confiscated all of the scientists' papers and basically left him destitute. And that pattern, Dave, has repeated itself throughout history, that every time a scientist has figured out how to tap into the zero-point energy field, they're shut down or silenced by the powers that be. They're denied patents for their inventions, and in many cases their labs are ransacked or the scientists themselves are killed.
What about Roswell itself? What has either the military or the federal government had to say about Roswell? Anything officially at all?
Well, nothing officially, but you have to understand back in 1947, World War II had just ended, and we were in the Cold War, and we had just used atomic weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and we were involved in a Cold War with the USSR. So the Soviets were in a race to develop the hydrogen bomb, and now there were flying saucers that were buzzing our military bases. So President Truman, he had to deal with this, so he put together some task force. The first one was called Project Sign, and that evolved into Project Grudge. There was a disinformation project known as Project Blue Book that was designed to fool the public. And now, as things went on, there were more UFOs that were being shot down. I think there were 13 total that were shot down over the next several years. So in comes President Eisenhower, and in 1956, President Eisenhower asked Nelson Rockefeller, who was part of his administration, to establish a secret energy secret agency that was to be known as Majestic or MJ-12, and MJ-12 was designed to handle the UFO situation. Well, what happened was MJ-12 turned into sort of a military-industrial complex agency and denied the president access into the agency. And while their name has changed over the years, it's not just one society. It's sort of a quasi-government, quasi-privatized operation. It's international, transnational. It functions outside of the oversight of any single agency or the government. The president is kept out of the loop. And it's a criminal organization now because it runs without the knowledge of the president or the members of Congress.
And, of course, Eisenhower, when he left office, served 2 terms, 8 years. And as he was leaving and John F. Kennedy was coming in his closing speech, he said, beware the military-industrial complex, right?
And that's a great quote, and that's exactly what happened. And he said that because he had been by the end of his presidency, he had been denied access to the agency that he had set up to handle these things.
I want to.
And what they did was they used billions of dollars and at this point trillions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money to secretly build these subterranean bases miles below the military bases.
This is such a fascinating subject. I want to talk a little bit specifically about your book, but I want to bring up one more thing first. I don't know whether you've heard about this or not. We had an incident here in western Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh, where an object fell out of the sky back in the late 1960s near Mount Pleasant, PA, and it was witnessed by a lot of people. Several people claimed to have seen it. It was a gargantuan acorn-shaped device with some strange alphabet lettering on it, quickly spirited away by the U.S. military. Have you ever heard about this this incident?
I haven't, and, you know, the major reason for that is that, you know, the agencies that control the mainstream media don't want this stuff out there to public for public consumption. So there's not a TV station or a magazine or a newspaper in the United States that the CIA doesn't control. So they could, you know, this object could have fallen out of the sky and landed in Three River Stadium. And, you know, the next day there's not going to be any pictures or a story published about it because they regulate all that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about specifically your book now. This is your new thriller. The title is Undisclosed. One of your main characters is Adam Shariak. Who's he, Steve?
Well, Adam Shariak represents the reader's doubts. Adam Shariak is a character who is a former Iraqi war vet, hero, and to his surprise, he is nominated as a candidate to become Undersecretary of Defense. And the reason that they selected him, they being the a group of people that want the truth about UFOs and ETs and zero-point energy brought out to the public, that they want him in, as Undersecretary of Defense, he'll have access to a lot of this information. So he sort of gets thrust down the rabbit hole, and he doesn't believe at all in this until things start happening, and he starts, you know, meeting with certain people who send him deeper into the rabbit hole. And his mission is to bring zero-point energy out because, and this is really important, zero-point energy is the key to our future. It's the key to humanity turning from a zero-type civilization to a type-one civilization that will get us off of fossil fuels. You know, our civilization has basically retarded itself for the last 100 years. We should be traveling the galaxy right now. But the powers that be have denied zero-point energy to replace fossil fuels, and by doing so, we have poverty, we have hunger, we have climate change. All those things, as Undisclosed gets into, would all go away with zero-point energy. And so it's Adam Shariak's mission in the book to bring it out, to get it off the black shelves.
It's a new thriller by Steve Alton. The title is Undisclosed, listeners. One final question, Steve. Have you ever been dismissed by either officials, governmental officials of one sort or another, or by anyone as being, you know, out there on the fringe, a conspiracy theorist? Have you ever been dismissed or even threatened?
Not for this book yet. I've been threatened for another book I wrote back in 2008 called The Shell Game, which got into the, which pulled back the curtain on 9/11 and showed it was actually a false flag event that was, you know, engaged or allowed to happen by the neoconservative movement. But and I did get threats then. But for undisclosed is sort of a Trojan horse. It provides information, the truth, from eyewitnesses about UFOs, extraterrestrials, and zero-point energy in digestible bites for the reader. But the information is very important because, like I said, it would change society.
That's the title, listeners, Undisclosed, a new thriller by Steve Alton. Hey, Steve, nice to meet you today. Nice to talk with you. Thanks for sharing some time with us.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Sure, sure. So long now.
Dr. Andrew Szabo of Butler Health System with the story of a remarkable recovery.
Joe's never the kind to be still for long. A hernia can stop that in a hurry. The technology we use makes surgery less invasive, and that makes recovery less challenging.